Let's go spirit hunting. I'm Susie Carrick, Chief Taster and Tailspinner from NZ Spirit Guide, and you're listening to Tales from the Top Shelf, where we meet the makers, explore the distilleries, and uncover the people, passions, and the stories behind New Zealand's world-class spirits. Kia ora and welcome to Tales from the Top Shelf. I'm Susie Carrick from the NZ Spirit Guide, and this is the show where we share the stories behind New Zealand distilleries, the people creating them, and the spirits making their way onto our top shelves. This week, we're heading to Tauranga in the beautiful Bay of Plenty to chat with Samuel from Dynamic Distilling, the creators of Dabbler's Gin. Now, flavoured gin isn't exactly new, but Dabbler's Gin has taken things in a very different direction. Their gins are all naturally infused, no added colours, no artificial flavours, and no sugary shortcuts. Just real fruit, clever food science, and a whole lot of experimentation. Born from two friends with food technology backgrounds and a curiosity for flavour, Dabbler's Gin has built a reputation for playful, fruit-forward gins that still take the craft seriously. So today, we're talking about how it all started, the process behind those natural infusions, and why experimentation seems to sit right at the heart of the Dabbler's Gin story. Samuel, welcome to Tales from the Top Shelf.
Thanks very much. Thanks for having me.
Right, Samuel, let's start right back at the very beginning. You and Adrian first met while studying food technology at Massey University. What do you remember about those early days, and how did the friendship develop from there?
That's right, yeah, we both studied food technology. We were there at around the same time, although we were at different year groups. He was always the fish guy. Into diving, fishing. He did his final year project in aquaponics of some sort. And at the time I was the president of the Technology Engineering Science Society. And so I tended to get to know people in different years. And that's basically how we met. I organized a few events. He liked alcohol. He came along. We drank together. It was perfect. And to be honest, we weren't really that good of friends at that point in time, but we knew of each other and we had a few mutual friends, and that's kind of how it began.
Right. Okay. So then once university wrapped up, where did life take the two of you? Were you working in similar industries, or did you head down quite different paths before Dabbler's Gin came along?
Well, after uni is really where our worlds collided. We ended up both working at Heinz Watties in the pet food department. So we bonded over beef hearts and chicken livers, and we ended up living together for a while as well, which was great. And since then, our careers have taken different paths. Adrian's spent majority of his career in pet food, and I've moved around a few different sectors in New Zealand and the UK.
Right. So at what point did the idea of creating a gin brand first come into the conversation? Was it something that you talked about for years, or did it grow out of lockdown days when everyone suddenly had a bit more time to experiment?
Well, it was a bit of both, really. It started pre-COVID. Jess and I moved back to New Zealand in 2019 from the UK, just before COVID. And Adrian and I at that point were chatting about a business. We were keen to get involved in something. We had an idea of a food truck and a microbrewery of some sort. And then lockdown hit. Adrian had a grandfather, so he was busy. He chose to make gin instead of sourdough, which fortunate for us, and most of that was around both experimenting with things that he got from his garden. He was seeing how they would infuse and what flavors would do, and the hot cross bun was actually the first gin that he nailed at that point in time, because it was around Easter, and then it just evolved from there. And likewise, the summer berry gin that we've got in the range now is virtually the same, except for a few tweaks to help scale it up.
Wow. Okay. So those early lockdown projects turned into a a proper gin brand pretty quickly. What do you remember about some of those first experiments with flavors and infusions? And when did you realize that you might actually have something special here?
Well, as scientists, we couldn't take our own judgment. So we organized a few tasting nights with friends and family. The first was a blind tasting just on our dry gin. We wanted to see how it compared to the rest of the industry, both small batch gins and then also commercial import gins. And then we also did another night. So our friends and family weren't too disgusted. They came back again and tasted our infusions, and we got really good feedback, and we just thought, we've got to try this, you know, that this feels like there's something in it. And we had a lot of fun doing that. And yeah, based on that feedback is how it evolved.
Okay, so where did the name Dabbler's Gin come from? How did you land on that as the right name for the brand?
I think it just fits so naturally. You know, we don't have, all we're wanting to do is dabble, try something new. And likewise, that's what we want our customers to do, try different flavors, try different cocktails and mixes and things like that. Like it literally is dabbling.
It is. The flavors are amazing. Right. Now, one of the really interesting things about Dabbler's Gin is the focus on natural infusion. For our listeners who might not know the difference, can you explain what the process involves and how it differs from some of the other commercially flavored gins?
Sure. So typically a flavored gin will have colors added, it'll have sugar added, flavors added, and sometimes that will be in combination with fruits that infuse, sometimes it won't be, depending on the type of gin. We didn't want to do it in that way, so we wanted to make all our gins clean by only using fruits, herbs and spices, botanicals to flavor the gin. You get so our process basically involves making a base dry gin through a vapor infusion process, pretty similar to other dry gins on the market. And then we take that and we infuse fruits into it, which is essentially a steeping process. We put the fruits into the gin for a period of time, and then we separate the fruits after the infusion's finished, filter, bottle, label, and that's pretty much it. It's a much more labor intensive and costly process than just adding a flavor, but we find that it gives it a much better, cleaner, more natural flavor, and it's more representative of what you would expect that ingredient to taste like.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, with your food tech backgrounds, I imagine there's a real balance between science and creativity behind the scenes. How much experimenting actually went into getting those infusions and flavor profiles right? You spoke of the summer berry being quite quick, but how are they balancing some of the other flavors?
Yeah. Literally loads of experimentation. Adrian was largely the brains on the side, and it started with just getting the flavors right. So we weren't satisfied until we both felt that it was right. And it was a lot of playing around with different fruits, different varieties of fruits, different components of the fruit. So adding a lemon to infuse into gin, if you just added the whole lemon, you're getting that whole proportion of skin, the whole proportion of pith, the whole proportion of flesh, but we didn't feel that actually was the right ratio. So we take the pith off, we take the skin off, we take the flesh, and then we combine it in the ratio that we feel is appropriate and gives you the best flavor. So there's a lot of experimentation. We also play around with the right alcohol content for infusing different ingredients. Some better at higher alcohol content, or get better flavors at higher alcohol contents versus others at lower alcohol contents, and also time periods. So some are optimal after a short period of time, some need much longer to draw the flavors out. So yeah, the we've got a really good system now, but it took quite a long time to get to a point where we can get really good consistency and get the best out of the ingredients that we were using.
I can imagine. Now, because you're working with real fruit and natural ingredients, does that create the challenge around consistency and seasonality from batch to batch?
It does present some challenges, yeah. Because working with real fruit, consistency matters a lot. So the fruit isn't always exactly the same, but the things that we've that have helped us is we have quite a strict intake process with ingredients, so when they come into our distillery, if they're not right, then we just won't use them. We stick to one variety of fruit, so that was a bit of a learning early on, especially around lemons and limes, where there are, you know, small differences in visual appearance, but actually they're different varieties, and that does produce a different flavor and, yeah, in some cases, appearance. So to get the fruits that we want for the infusion, some of the challenges that we had were around seasonal sourcing of them. Early on, we didn't really factor in the length of the season, and we were just using local suppliers. Now we go a little bit wider within New Zealand, and we've got really good suppliers now, and we understand kind of the length of seasons and things like that. So it's, you know, don't get me wrong, it's been, you know, of a few, there's been a few things, but that's definitely been a bit of a learning curve. But we've got really, we've got that down now, and we've got, you know, our products are really consistent now.
Because how many years, how long ago was it that you actually launched?
We launched just over 3.5 years ago.
Yeah, right. Okay. Now, your range has some seriously fun flavor profiles, including lime and mint, orange, raspberry and rhubarb, lemonade, gin, summer berry, and even things like you mentioned, the hot cross bun and Feijoa gin. How important is that whole sense of fun and experimentation into the Dabblers Gin brand?
Yeah, it means a lot. You know, I think fun is everything. Fun is actually one of our values in the business. So, you know, our mission is to make fun, to bring more fun to the Kiwi G&T. So we love to see people having fun with flavors, experimenting with mixes and cocktails. And to help this along, we tried and tested every tonic with all of our gins, tough job, so that we could recommend the best mixes depending on what brand you like. So the best mixer for each brand. And also all of the cocktails that we have on our website are all ones that we've done at events. So if someone tastes their cocktail at an event and they like it, all of those recipes are on the website. And they're also with ingredients that are things that people have at home, rather than, you know, we know cocktails can be pretty daunting. And all of that is helping to encourage people to experiment, have fun, and have a dabble.
Yeah, and that's what I love about your products, is that it is a quick and easy cocktail because the gin's already flavored. It's not having to add your raspberry liqueur or something like that. You can just add a nice flavored Alchemy and Tonic can, and you've got a very quick and easy fun cocktail. Now, has there been any flavors that surprised you, either ones that you thought would be a bit niche but became really popular, or combinations that worked far better than what you expected?
Well, I remember when we first launched the brand, we had the four flavors, which was lemonade, lime and mint, summer berry, and orange, raspberry, and rhubarb. And Adrian and I put bets on which we thought was going to be the biggest seller, because obviously we're competitive. And we were both wrong. We were both so severely wrong. It was actually, it's comical at this point, but lime and mint is our biggest seller by far. And we both weren't sure, but customers love it. You know, it's basically like a gin mojito in a glass. So it just, like you said, it makes making cocktails really easy. And then in terms of a seasonal gin, we launched Hot Cross Bun because it was important to us, you know, being the first gin that we've got right. It felt like a bit of a risk because there wasn't anything like that in the market. And it was quite different from the flavor profiles that we had in the range at the moment. It wasn't fruity necessarily. It's a lot more spice heavy, but it's done exceptionally well. And we just brought it back this year for the fourth time because we just keep getting asked about it. So yeah, there's definitely been some surprises.
Wow. Okay. I don't think I've ever tried that one. I'll have to look out for that next season. Right. You strike me as people who are constantly experimenting. Are there any flavor directions or ideas you're especially excited about at the moment?
We are always working on things. We are on it. You should see our library of flavors. We've probably got 150 in there. But it's hard for us to perfect ones that actually make it to market because it takes quite a long time. But we do have, we've got two really exciting launches this year. We've got one that's going to be added to our core range because we honestly think it's very good. It might be one of our best gins ever. And then we've also got one, a seasonal one, landing at the towards the end of the year that might fit nicely under a Christmas tree.
Ooh, how exciting. I'm looking forward to those, definitely. Right, and to finish, Samuel, it's the end of the working week and the stiller's off and it's time to relax. What is your go-to dabbler's gin and how do you like to enjoy it?
Oh, God, that is an incredibly different... That's probably the most difficult question you've asked me today. Honestly, it is hard for me to go past a lime and mint with a Mediterranean tonic, just simple, clean, squeeze of lime, just, easy.
Refreshing. What's your favourite cocktail?
Well, the favourite cocktail that we do is the spicy margarita. So it's a gin margarita that we use our lemonade gin for, and you know, lime juice, sugar syrup, chili. Brilliant.
Ooh, might have to look for that at the next gin indulgence. Right, Samuel, thank you so much for joining me today on Tales from the Top Shelf. It's been lovely hearing the story behind Dabbler's Gin, from food technology and early experiments through to naturally infused gins that really bring a sense of fun and flavour to the New Zealand spirit scene. Thank you for sharing your time, your process, and a little bit about Dabbler's Gin with us today.
Thanks, Susie. That was great.
Now for you flavor chasers and gin lovers out there, Dabbler's Gin is definitely one to add to your collection, especially if you're enjoying something a little playful, naturally infused and proudly New Zealand made. To explore the range and buy direct, head to nzspiritguide.com. If you've already got a bottle sitting on your top shelf at home, jump onto nzspiritguide.com and leave a rating and review. We always love to hear what people are pouring, mixing and enjoying around New Zealand. Until next time, support local, buy direct, drink responsibly and keep your top shelf full of stories.
That's a wrap on this episode of Tales from the Top Shelf. We hope you've enjoyed this peek into the craft and creativity behind New Zealand's distilling scene. As always, sip slow, enjoy responsibly, and don't forget to support our incredible local spirit makers. I'm Susie from NZ Top Shelf. Catch you next time for more behind the bar stories.
This program was produced at and first aired on Coast Access Radio, supported by Erirangi Te Motu, New Zealand On Air. You can listen back to this and other programs on your favourite podcast platform.